concerning the death of Jose Luis Sanz on February 20th, 2024. I am Mandy McKellar. I will be presiding over today's proceedings. This review is being held because the Clark County District Attorney's Office has made a preliminary determination that no criminal prosecution of the officers involved in the death of Jose Luis Sanz is appropriate. Clark County Ordinance Chapter 2.12 requires public review following such a determination. This is not a trial. For the purposes of today's proceedings, it's to present the public with essential facts surrounding the death of Mr. Sanz. Chief Deputy District Attorney Kenneth Ports will present today's fact-finding review on behalf of the District Attorney's Office. He will determine the witness or witnesses to be called. The ordinance does not provide subpoena power on my behalf and does not allow for any other parties to be called as witnesses. Josh Tomsick has been appointed as the ombudsman. He represents both the public and the Sanz family. He will have the opportunity to ask questions of the witness or witnesses called. The procedure for questioning witnesses shall be informal with a view providing the public with relevant information. Regarding the use of force, the rules of evidence shall not be strictly enforced. Members of the public observing this review may submit proposed written questions on the form in the back of this room and present it to one of the officers. I will ask the questions unless I determine that it is irrelevant, redundant, or an abuse of this review process. At the conclusion of this review, no formal determination regarding the manner or death or cause of death shall be rendered. Does anybody have anything to add? Okay, Mr. Ports, you can proceed. Oh, by the way, I should also state as a reminder, the following material that will be presented may contain graphic images or language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Thank you. And we will be calling as our witness Detective Robert Chavez. Sir, where do you work?
I work for the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department.
And what's your position at Metro?
I'm a detective with the Force Investigation Team.
What does the Force Investigation Team do?
The Force Investigation Team, we're responsible for conducting investigations into critical incidents such as officer-involved shootings, in custody deaths.
And were you working in that capacity on February 20th, 2024?
Yes.
Shortly before 1 a.m. on that date, were you tasked or assigned to assist in the investigation of an officer-involved shooting that resulted in the death of the decedent Jose Luis Sanz?
Yes.
And what was your role in that investigation?
My role, I was one of the case agents, primary case agents assigned to the case.
Have you prepared for your testimony today a PowerPoint presentation detailing the investigation that you and your fellow officers conducted?
I have.
And if we could, I believe it's queued up now. If we could go to the first slide. And it's entitled Area Overview. So could you give us just a general description of major cross streets where this incident took place?
Sure. The major cross streets where the incident occurred was on Eastern Avenue, just south of Sahara Avenue, in a parking lot to a title loan store.
And turning to the next slide, what are we looking at here, sir?
This is a close-up of where the OIS occurred. It occurred right near the walkway, in between the walkway and the parking lot.
And then the next slide. What are we looking at here?
This would be where we later discovered the decedent was sleeping in. It was a makeshift tent.
Okay. I think just for a little context with these slides, could you provide us just a brief synopsis of the details of what the officers were being called out there for?
Just a brief synopsis was officers were called to an incident where a subject was cutting his left arm. There was a witness in the parking lot who said that he may have been cutting his arm with a sword, he believed. Officers arrived at the scene. They attempted to make contact with the subject. The decedent then walked towards the officers with what appeared to be a long metal bar. The decedent also had some, it appeared to be blood. Later on, we did discover it was blood on his shirt and on his left arm. what happened just before that was he was cutting his arm with that bar. Officers told the decedent to stop. They gave him several commands to stop. He proceeded towards the officers, raised the metal bar. One of the officers actually was able to deploy a 40-millimeter specialty impact weapon, which is a less or low-lethal weapon. He momentarily fell down after he got struck with the foam projectile. The decedent got back up with the metal bar still over his right arm. He went towards the officers, and the officers discharged their firearms at the decedent.
Okay, thank you. So with that understanding and sort of the general framework of what had transpired, can you describe what we're looking at here in this slide?
This slide shows, this is where the decedent was staying in. It was a makeshift tent. He was staying in there with his wife. This is located in the southeast part of the parking lot.
And these photographs, these were taken by your investigative team after the incident had already occurred?
That's correct.
As part of your investigation, do you look into what are known as subject officers?
Yes.
Okay. And could we go to your next slide? What are, in your terms, what is a subject officer?
Subject officers will be the officers that were directly involved with the officer-involved shootings.
Okay. And who were the subject officers in this case?
We had two subject officers. First officer is Officer Joshua Romansky. He was hired on in 2022. He was 37 at the time of the incident, assigned to South Central Area Command. His body-worn camera was activated. He provided a walkthrough, but he did not provide a statement to the force investigation team.
And was Officer Romansky's weapon analyzed as part of your investigation?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have a slide on that?
I do. Also, Romansky's weapon was a Sig Sauer P320 AXG Pro 9mm. The investigation revealed that he fired three rounds.
And then you mentioned there was a second subject officer as well, is that correct?
Yes.
Who was that?
It's Officer Paul Guerrero. He was hired on July 19th, 2022. He was 20 years old at the time of the incident. He was assigned to the South Central Air Command. His body-worn camera was activated. He provided a walkthrough, but he did not provide a statement to the force investigation team.
And was Officer Guerrero's weapon also reviewed as part of this investigation?
Yes.
What were your findings there?
Officer Guerrero's weapon was a Sig Sauer P320 9mm. The investigation revealed that he fired two rounds.
As part of this investigation, do you also interview what you term as witness officers?
Yes.
And what are witness officers as distinct from subject officers?
Witness officers are the officers that were there during the incident. However, they were not the officers who actually discharged their lethal weapons, but they were able to witness the incident.
Can we go to your next slide, please? And then what witness officers did you interview as part of this investigation?
Officer Clover, he was the officer who deployed his 40-millimeter, Officer Bowling and Officer Dressler.
Now, when it indicates Officer Clover discharged a 40-millimeter, you testified to what that is, but could you just reiterate what the 40-millimeter is?
40-millimeter is a low lethality specialty impact weapon designed to shoot a single round from foam projectile. It's meant to be one of the less lethal options.
Okay. And so did you interview Officer Clover as one of the officer witnesses here?
I did.
And could you provide us on your next slide with a detail of Officer Clover's statements to the FIT team?
Officer Clover said he was assigned to a suicidal subject call. The details stated that the subject was armed with a sword and trying to cut off his own arm with it. Upon arrival, Officer Clover retrieved the 40-millimeter specialty impact weapon from the tactical vehicle. Officer Clover then saw the decedent in the parking lot holding a metal piece in his right hand. The decedent walked toward the officers, and Officer Clover discharged the 40-millimeter, striking the decedent in his left leg to try to de-escalate. The decedent fell to the ground and got back up and continued walking toward the officers while holding the metal piece in his right hand over his right shoulder as if he was going to swing it at the officers. Officer Romansky and Officer Guerrero backed away from the decedent into the street, then discharged their firearms at the decedent. Officer Clover said the metal piece the decedent was armed with was capable of killing a person.
Okay, so from your investigative interview with Officer Clover, first, it appears he was made aware prior to arriving on scene that the subject was armed with what was described by a PR as a sword. Is that correct?
Correct.
And was Officer Clover amongst the first officers to arrive on scene prior to the OIS incident?
Yes.
And then it also indicates that he did discharge the 40 millimeter, so that's the less lethal round that's designed to incapacitate rather than be killed. Is that correct? And that struck the decedent, is that correct?
Yes.
And that the decedent then got back up with the metal piece and charged toward officers before any rounds were fired?
Yes.
Was a review conducted as part of your investigation of Officer Clover's 40 millimeter special impact weapon?
Yes.
Could you please provide us with the details of that review?
Officer Clover's 40 millimeter special impact weapon, that's basically a department issued single fire weapon designed to shoot a low lethality foam projectile. The investigation revealed that one round was discharged.
And are you familiar with this weapon being a member of the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department?
Yes.
Is this weapon capable of multiple or automatic fire, or does it have to be reloaded each time a round is discharged?
It has to be reloaded each time.
And again, the rounds being discharged, they're 40 millimeter caliber foam projectiles, is that correct?
Correct.
You had indicated that there was also a witness officer by the name of Bullig who was interviewed as part of this investigation, is that correct?
Correct.
What was the content of his statements to fit?
Officer Bullig said he was assigned to a call reference, a male trying to cut off his own arm with a knife. Upon arrival, Officer Bullig observed two officers that had already arrived, and the decedent was in the parking lot covered in blood. The decedent had a large object, which is the metal piece, that Officer Bullig believed was a sword and was swinging it as he ran toward the officers. An officer shot the decedent with a 40 millimeter specialty impact weapon, but it was ineffective. The decedent stumbled for a second, got back up, and charged at the officers again, with the metal piece raised above his head as if he was going to swing it at the officers. Officer Bullig believed the decedent was approximately 10 feet from the officers when he heard the shots being fired by the officers. Officer Bullig believed the officers would have been seriously injured had the decedent struck them with the metal piece.
From your general review of Officer Bullock's statement, was it consistent with the statement you had received from the other witness officer, Officer Clover?
Yes.
And again, with regards to Officer Bullock, he was made aware that the subject they were responding to in this Title Max parking lot location was described as being armed with a sword?
Yes.
And that when the officer arrived, he did in fact observe a long metal object in the decedent's?
Yes.
Okay. And then there was blood, at least on the decedent, or possibly the metal object as well?
Yes.
Okay. And then you indicated there was a third officer witness, Officer Dressler. Could you please detail the content of his statements to fit?
Officer Dressler was assigned to a suicidal subject call who had a sword and was cutting himself on his arm. When Officer Dressler arrived, he observed three officers retreating behind the patrol vehicles. Officer Dressler saw the decedent hold what appeared to be a sword in his right hand as he screamed and advanced toward officers. Officer Dressler saw one of the officers fire a 40 millimeter less lethal round that struck the decedent in his left leg. The decedent stumbled and continued to advance toward the officers who retreated behind a patrol vehicle. Two officers fired their firearms at the decedent as he continued to advance towards them. Officers then took the decedent into custody and began rendering aid until medical personnel arrived.
And again, from your review of Officer Dressler's statement to fit, was it consistent with the other witness officer statements that have been provided to you?
Yes.
And then we'll discuss this later, but was there also body-worn camera reviewed as part of that the first responding officers were wearing, reviewed as part of your investigation?
Yes.
And was it largely consistent with what these witness officers
yes.
relayed?
Yes, it was.
As part of your investigation, do you look into the decedent, in this case, Mr. Sains?
Yes.
Okay, can we go to your next slide, please? Would you please detail what your investigation revealed regarding Mr. Sains?
The decedent's name is Jose Luis Sands. He was 41 years old. Our investigation revealed that he was unhoused. The applicable charges, had he survived, would have been assault with deadly weapon on protected person, 3 counts, and resisting with a weapon, not a firearm.
And would you describe a little more detail your investigation revealed he was unhoused? Were you able to learn through your investigation where he was staying at the time since he was unhoused?
Yes, we were able to determine that he was staying in that the tent in the parking lot of the Title Loan store. We found that his wife was actually inside of the tent, and she confirmed that was her husband.
And I know we'll look at scene photos later, but was the location where he was staying reviewed as part of your investigation and documented as well?
I'm sorry, one more time.
The tent where he was staying,
yep.
the area that he was staying in, was that documented photographically as well?
Yes.
Okay. Was the weapon that Mr. Sains was carrying that had been described as a sword located on scene?
Yes.
And was it photographed?
Yes.
Could you please go to your next slide and provide us with information regarding the weapon?
The decedent's weapon, it was a 29-inch metal piece. The substance on it was apparently the decedent's blood.
And were there any injuries on the decedent after the fact that confirmed or at least verified these allegations that he had been cutting his arm with this item earlier?
Yes, on his left forearm, he had a very large cut and deep. It was a deep, large cut that he had in his left arm. Consistent with the reports that he was cutting his arm with it.
So through your investigation, you were able to verify with that information that this object was, in addition to being a long metal rod, was also capable of cutting.
Yes.
Did you interview witnesses outside of police officers?
Yes.
Okay, could you go to your next slide, please? And what witness did you interview as part of your investigation in this case?
A witness, he's just going to go as a JJ to protect his identity. He was sleeping in the parking lot as well.
Okay, he had been sleeping in the same parking lot where the decedent had been that evening?
Yes.
And would you please detail for us the content of the interview with JJ?
Yes. JJ slept in a tent in the parking lot near the decedent and his wife. JJ stated they returned to Las Vegas a couple of days ago. JJ witnessed the decedent exit his tent and begin cutting himself on the arm with a sword or a rod. JJ asked the decedent why he was doing that, and the decedent stated he was sad, depressed, and did not want to go through this anymore. The decedent began screaming while he continued to cut his own arm.
And going to your next slide, could you please continue?
And JJ called 911 and informed the dispatcher that the decedent was trying to kill himself. As officers arrived, JJ saw the decedent run toward them and heard officers yell at the decedent to stop. JJ could not believe that officers did not shoot the decedent at that point because the decedent was waving the knife at the officers at a close distance. The decedent continued toward the officers, and the officers shot him.
Okay. As part of the FIT investigation, due to the fact that Mr. Sains was deceased, was an autopsy conducted on Mr. Sains?
Yes.
And do you detail the autopsy as part of your investigation through this PowerPoint slide?
Yes.
Could you please walk us through that?
The autopsy conducted by Dr. Stacy Simmons on February 27th of 2024 found that the cause of death was a result of multiple gunshot wounds. The manner of death was homicide.
And was there a toxicology report conducted on the decedent's blood or organ tissues?
Yes.
And what were the findings of the toxicology report from the decedent?
The findings were that the decedent had ethanol, alcohol, amphetamines, and methamphetamines in his blood.
In addition to the multiple gunshot wounds that were documented as cause of death, were there also injuries noted on the decedent's body that were from, as you already testified to previously, his efforts or attempts to cut at his arm with that metal weapon?
Yes.
Have you provided in your PowerPoint presentation today a timeline of the events to again give us kind of a 2,000-foot overview of the case?
Yes.
Could you walk us through that, please?
The timeline, at 0041 hours, Clark County Fire Department transferred a call to 911 dispatch referencing a subject to the decedent actively cutting his arm with a knife. At 0046 hours, Officer Romansky arrived and informed the dispatcher that the decedent had a large knife or sword. At 0047:38 hours, the decedent continued towards the officers, and Officer Clover deployed his 40-millimeter specialty impact weapon. At 0047:53 hours, shots fired were broadcasted.
So there was approximately, at least according to the CAD logs, a 15-second interval between Officer Clover deploying the 40-millimeter non-lethal weapon and then the subject officers discharging their firearms.
Yes.
Please continue.
At 0049 hours, officers began life-saving measures on the decedent. At 0055, medical personnel arrived on scene and began life-saving measures. At 0101, the decedent was placed in an ambulance and transported to Sunrise Hospital. At 0112, the decedent was pronounced deceased at Sunrise Hospital.
All right, thank you. You also testified previously that as part of your investigation, you reviewed body-worn camera footage from the first arriving officers or any officers present on scene during the OIS incident. Is that correct?
Yes.
And have you selected, for purposes of today's presentation, a certain number of clips from those officers' body-worn camera?
Yes.
And then fair to say you reviewed the entirety of their body-worn camera as it relates to this incident, which would be many, many hours of footage?
Yes.
But for the sake of expediency, you've provided relevant clips from what you've testified to so far in the investigation.
Correct.
All right, can you turn to those slides, please?
This is just a reminder that this is graphic content and viewer discretion is advised.
Thank you. Let's start with Officer Romanski's body-worn camera.
Officer Romanski, just before we get started with the video, Officer Romanski was the first officer to arrive at the scene and made contact with the subject. On this, you'll see when Officer Romanski tries to make contact with the decedent, and you'll see when the decedent advances towards him with the metal object, and then the OAS occurs right after.
Control, one-legged TDM arrived. Subject has a large knife. He's at the back of the parking lot, standing there, gonna wait for a couple units. Code red the channel, he's got a sword. Hey, stay where you are! Stay where you're at! I got one at gunpoint. He's walking toward me. Hey, get a shield! He's walking toward us. Hey, stay where you're at!
Stop
fucking walking!
Grab the 40.
Grab a 40, hurry. Fuck, the car. Hey, shut the door. 40 now.
40 him!
40 him!
Get on the fucking ground.
40 at point, ground. Shoot him.
Action team right here. Come on. Somebody get on less lethal.
I got less lethal shotgun. Handcuffs.
Okay.
We got a shield? Hold on.
Who's got gloves? And I apologize, Madam Presiding Officer. It appears we may have had some technical difficulties on my screen. The body-worn camera appeared to be fading to black at some points. Did that happen on yours as well?
Yes, it did.
So we may need to get that fixed just for purposes of today's hearing so we can see the full video. But to be clear, in your review of the video, it doesn't fade in and out to black like that. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Brief indulgence. We're going to try to play it again to see if it does it again. And if it does, we'll see what we need to do to get that fixed.
Okay. You'll play it again.
Yes. Control, one-legged TDM arrived. Subject has a large knife. He's at the back of the parking lot, standing there, gonna wait for a couple units. Code red the channel, he's got a sword.
Hey, stay where you are! Stay where you're at!
I got one at gunpoint. He's walking toward me. Hey, get a shield! He's walking toward us.
Hey, stay where you're at!
Stop fucking walking!
Grab the 40, hurry!
Fuck. The car. The car. Hey! Shut the door. Shut. Shut the door. 40 now! 40 now!
40
him! 40 him!
40 him! Get on the fucking ground!
40, 40 a point. Ground. Shoot him!
Fuck you! Shoot him.
Action team.
Right here. Come on. Somebody get on
Less
Lethal.
I got Less Lethal. I got
Less
Lethal shotgun. Handcuffs.
Okay. We got a shield?
Hold on.
Who's got gloves?
Okay, it appears we're still having some technical difficulties with the screen blacking out. I know you have additional body-worn camera for some of the other officers, so we're going to proceed on to that, see if that covers the same time frame of footage without the same IT issues. If they continue, then we will pause for a moment with the presiding officer's permission to see if we can get that resolved so that we can see the videos in their entirety.
Okay.
So we saw during the course of that video, Officer Romanski shouting 40 him, 40 him, and then the decedent, we hear a pop and the decedent grabs his leg and falls to the ground. Is that correct?
It was not Officer Romanski that fired the 40, it was Officer Clover. He's to his right of him, but yes, he discharges his.
Okay. But it was after Officer Romanski was shouting to 40 him, is that correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Yeah. And so that was when the low lethal round was discharged and it proved ineffective on the decedent as he got back up in the video and continued to charge the officers.
Correct.
Okay. And then did you pull a still of Officer Romanski's body-worn camera that shows just a few moments before the officers discharge their firearm where the decedent is in relation to them? Okay, what are we looking at here?
This would be Officer Romanski's still photo, right as he's exiting the parking lot, still holding the metal bar or metal object in his right hand. This is right before the Officer Romanski discharges firearm. To the left, it's a little blurry, but you can see that the decedent had blood on his right arm or his left arm.
Thank you. And then with regards to additional body-worn camera review, did you review Officer Guerrero's body-worn camera?
Yes.
And let's review that slide, please, or that video and see if we can get through these technical issues. Thank you. And that one did appear to black out less, but obviously we could see the entirety of the officer-involved shooting incident there. Again, did you do the same thing with Officer Guerrero's body-worn camera, capturing a still image of the body-worn camera shortly before he discharged his firearm?
Yes.
And could you please show us that still and give us a description of what we're looking at?
Officer Guerrero's body-worn camera still photo shows when the decedent had the metal bar over his right shoulder. This is a closer view of, you can see where the decedent had been actively cutting his arm, on his left arm, and you see blood on his shirt as well.
As part of the investigation on scene that evening, do crime scene analysts respond to document the scene?
Yes.
And that was done in this particular case?
Yes.
In addition to documenting the scene, did they take photographs of where everything is in place?
Yes.
Was the decedent still present on scene, or had he already been transported to hospital at this point in time?
He had been transported to Sunrise.
Could you please now walk us through the crime scene photographs and any details from your investigation that we can see within those photographs?
This photograph shows where Officer Clover said he was when he discharged his 40 millimeter. Officer Clover said he was 21 feet 6 inches away from the decedent when he deployed the 40 millimeter.
And can I just ask for a point of clarification? So Officer Clover indicated where he was standing when he discharged the 40 millimeter?
That's where he believes he was, yes.
Okay. And the measurement of 21 feet 6 inches, was that specifically provided by Officer Clover, or was that measured out by crime scene analysts and detectives from where he stated he was located and where the decedent's body was?
That was provided by the crime scene analysts after speaking with Officer Clover and giving us an approximate location of where he was standing and the decedent was.
Okay. Do you have a slide detailing Officer Romanski's location?
Yes.
Okay, walk us through what we're looking at there.
Officer Romanski, I believe he was approximately 18 feet and 9 inches away from the decedent when he discharged his firearm.
And then the same with Officer Guerrero?
Yes. Officer Guerrero believed he was 15 feet and 8 inches away from the decedent when he fired his firearm.
And then please walk us through photographs that were taken of the scene as part of this investigation.
This would be the location where the decedent and his wife were staying in. It was the tent that they had put together there. To the left, you can see the substance on the ground. That was the blood from the decedent from when he was actively cutting his arm with the metal bar.
Can we go, I just want to provide context for where this is in location to the officer-involved shooting incident. The blood that we see outside of the tent in this particular image, is that a result of where the decedent had been positioned when he was cutting his arm prior to officer's arrival?
Yes.
And can you go back to, I believe it's your slide 35, just so we can have an overview to see the difference between the two locations. One more. Guess not. Okay, so what we're looking at here in officer's position with Officer Clover, this is at the front end of the Title Max parking lot, is that correct?
That's correct.
What's that road that's running along the Title Max?
What's running along the front?
Is that eastern?
That's eastern, yes.
Okay. And the location of the tent where the decedent had been staying, that's at the back end of the parking lot?
That was at the back end, yes.
Okay, so it's some distance away from where the location of the OIS occurred?
Yes.
All right, so go back to the tent photograph, please.
Okay. This is just a close-up of the... of where the decedent was cutting his arm. You see a significant amount of blood. You see some more droplets to the left, and you also see footprints from the decedent as he was walking towards the officers.
Can you turn to the next photo, please? What are we looking at here?
This is the metal bar that the decedent dropped after he was shot.
Next photograph. What are we looking at here?
This is the foam projectile from Officer Clover's 40 millimeter specialty impact weapon.
And where was that located?
That was located near the decedent where he was first shot. It was in the parking lot of the Title Max.
Okay. Next photograph, please. What are we looking at here, sir?
A glass smoking pipe that was found inside of the decedent's tent where him and his wife were staying in.
And based on your training and experience as an officer, are you familiar with what that is potentially indicative of?
Yes, what it appeared to be would be a glass smoking pipe, primarily used for smoking methamphetamine and stuff.
As part of your investigation, do you conduct what are known as officer walkthroughs?
I'm sorry.
Officer walkthroughs?
Yes.
What are officer walkthroughs?
During the officer walkthroughs, the officers, what they do is they conduct a walkthrough with their union attorney and representatives. They give a walkthrough just to be able to give us a better idea of where they were during the officer-involved shooting.
And does your next slide detail the purpose of the walkthrough?
Yes.
Could you please tell us about that? On the next slide, thank you.
So I'll go through this here. The purpose of the walkthrough The scene walkthrough is to assist crime scene analysts and fit detectives with developing an understanding of the scene, including identifying officers' locations at the time of the deadly force was used, identifying items of potential physical evidence, and recreating a timeline of the incident. And all the walkthroughs and statements are conducted with, they're all voluntary.
Okay, and these are walkthroughs specifically, you're speaking of with the subject officers involved in the OIS incident?
Yes.
Could you please detail for us what your investigation revealed from Officer Guerrero's walkthrough?
Officer Guerrero, his walkthrough was conducted via LPPA attorney, John Schimmer. Officer Guerrero was dispatched to the scene involving an attempted suicide call. Officer Guerrero located the decedent armed with a sword or a long knife. The decedent made aggressive movements towards the officers. Officer Guerrero then gave the decedent verbal commands, but he continued to run toward the officers. Officer Guerrero used lethal force because he was in fear of his life and the lives of other officers and felt that we're in danger.
And was a walkthrough also conducted with Officer Romanski?
Yes.
Could you please detail what you learned through that?
Officer Romanski's walkthrough was conducted via the LVPPA attorney, John Schimmer, also. Mm-hmm. Officer Romanski was dispatched to an attempt suicide call. The decedent was wielding a long knife or sword. Officer Romanski gave the decedent verbal commands to stop moving. The decedent made an aggressive movement toward the officers. Officer Romanski backed away from the decedent, and less lethal force was used by Officer Clover.
Does it continue from there?
Yes. After the decedent was struck with the less lethal option, the decedent ran toward the officers. Officer Romanski then fired his weapon because his life and the lives of the officers were in danger.
So from your review of the investigation and the body-worn camera and the officer witnesses, did it appear that when the officers arrived on scene, the decedent was clearly armed with a long metal object?
Yes.
That object was covered in blood, as was the decedent?
Yes.
That they had prior reports that he had been actually cutting himself with that item?
Correct.
And that he had made a suicidal statement of some sort to the witness, JJ, prior to the officer's arrival?
Yes.
That the item that he was carrying was capable of clearly causing injury as it had been used against himself prior to the officer's arrival?
Yes.
During the course of his interaction with officers, he immediately began walking towards officers, despite them having guns drawn, telling him to stop walking towards them?
Yes.
That as he continued walking towards them, the officers attempted a less lethal option of using that 40-millimeter weapon?
Yes.
That he was struck with that weapon?
Yes.
That despite being struck and falling down, being told to stay down, he got up with the metal rod that he had been carrying?
Yes.
And that he then ran towards the officer with the item raised above his head as if intending to strike?
Yes.
And was within maybe 10 to 12 feet prior to the officers actually discharging their weapons as he was running towards them?
Correct.
Okay. Do you have any other additional slides relevant to this investigation?
No.
Thank you.
Anything further?
That will conclude our line of questioning. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Tomczyk.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Detective.
Good afternoon.
You indicated that you're a detective with the FIT team, which stands for Force Investigation Team. Is that accurate?
Yes.
And you also told us that part of your job duties are to investigate what you referred to as critical incidents. Is that right?
Yes.
They include things like in-custody deaths, in other words, when someone's in custody of the sheriff, for instance, at the Clark County Detention Center, and they become deceased, you would investigate and find the cause of that, right?
Correct.
You also involve what we term OIS, or officer-involved shooting incidents, correct?
Yes.
Anytime a Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department detective utilizes a service weapon in deadly force, and someone dies as a result, you would investigate that, you and the other detectives within the FIT
yes.
team, right? When you do an investigation, the goal is to gather as much information as possible, right?
Correct.
And that's what you tried to do here, correct?
Correct.
You identify both the subject officers, the officers who discharged their lethal force weapons, right?
Yes.
You also identify officers who are present as witnesses, who you've termed witness officers, right?
Correct.
And by differentiation, the difference between a witness officer and a subject officer is simply the fact they didn't discharge their weapon, correct?
Correct.
Many times a witness officer may have the same or similar information as a subject officer and vice versa, right?
Correct.
It's important to gather as much information from those different witness categories as possible.
Yes.
Within the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department, officers wear body or lapel-worn cameras, right?
Yes.
And that's what we saw in your PowerPoint presentation, correct?
Yes.
As a FIT detective, your job is to review that information as well, right?
Yes.
You also identify anyone and everyone that may have witness-type information from a percipient witness observation, right?
Yes.
And in this particular incident, you were able to identify a couple people who had witnessed the acts leading up to the officer-involved shooting, right?
Yes.
And you talk to those people on scene, correct?
Yes.
You want to gather as much information about the injuries that were sustained by the decedent. So you, for instance, actually physically attended the autopsy, right?
Yes.
You don't conduct an autopsy. That's outside your area of expertise, right?
Correct.
But you're present while it occurs, correct?
Correct.
In this particular case, while you're at the autopsy, you learn that Mr. Sane sustained a number of gunshot wounds to his person, right?
Yes. Yes.
One of the things that was also identified from your investigation is that Mr. Sane's did have injuries consistent with the person reporting in that 911 call, correct?
Yes.
When the call for service initially is broadcast, the details of that call are that there's someone with a large knife or a sword and he's inflicting serious injury to himself, right?
Yes.
In fact, the caller indicated that the person was trying to kill themselves.
Right.
When we review the body-worn camera on scene and the photographs of the scene after the officer-involved shooting, there is obvious forensic evidence of that injury to Mr. Sane's, right?
That's correct.
There's a large pool of blood, correct?
Yes.
And you can actually see the blood on Mr. Sane's person as he approaches officers, correct?
Yes.
Because you were at the autopsy, you know that that injury that was sustained by that large metal rod or sword type instrument was documented by the Clark County Coroner's Office at the time of autopsy, right?
Yes.
And you would agree with me that was a serious injury, right?
Yes.
It was categorized as a sharp force injury of the left forearm, is that true?
Yes.
And then the medical examiner articulates what injuries are sustained under the surface of the skin at autopsy, correct?
Yes.
They include deep incised wounds of the proximal left forearm, transecting skin with vessels, extensor muscle groups, and associated intramuscular nerves and vessels, right?
Yes.
You physically saw that injury?
Yes.
That was a very serious injury?
Yes.
And obviously we saw the amount of blood?
Correct.
You agree when officers respond to that scene, they don't know who may be injured, there's a report of someone that's trying to inflict injury on themselves, and they see indicia of that right away, correct?
Yes.
One of the things that officers within the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department are trained to do is to try to de-escalate situations, right?
Yes.
And that can include things like verbal commands, right?
Right.
You can give someone orders to put down a weapon or to stop moving forward, correct?
Correct.
You can try to coax someone out of a heightened stress situation by talking them down, right?
Sometimes, yes.
In this particular case, it appears that officers, when they arrive, initially give commands to Mr. Sane's, right?
Yes.
And it does not appear that he complies with any of those commands. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Officer Romanski is the first officer on scene, is he not?
Yes.
And when he arrives, he starts giving commands to Mr. Sane's almost immediately, correct?
Yes.
He's also at the same time giving information to dispatch, correct?
Yes.
He's got a radio on his person, right?
Correct.
And he's relaying information, what he's seeing in real time, correct?
Yes.
That information is taken by a dispatcher and entered into a CAD or a computer-aided dispatch report, right?
Yes.
So subsequent officers that that respond to that location will get that information, right?
Yes.
He reports that he sees a large knife or sword upon arrival, correct?
Yes.
That's broadcast to other officers, right?
Yes.
He updates that information with the fact that he sees a sword, correct?
Yes.
He starts to give verbal commands, right?
Yes.
Mr. Sane's continues to approach, correct?
Yes.
And it appears to me that Officer Romanski starts to give information to other officers on how he thinks they should respond. You agree with that?
Yes.
At one point in the video, it's apparent that there's a vehicle that's forward of Officer Romanski that has an open car door, right?
Yes.
That's a dangerous situation, correct?
It is, yes.
A suspect could get in that car, right?
Correct.
And could drive away, perhaps injure people or property.
Yes.
Officer Romanski instructs another officer to close that door and secure the vehicle.
Yes.
He also instructs other officers to get a shield. Did you hear that?
Yes.
What does that mean?
The shield is, some of the vehicles are equipped with ballistic shields. They could be just used as protection for the officers.
In other words, if someone's advancing towards an officer with a sharp instrument, like a knife or a sword, there's an actual physical shield they can hold up and try to keep that person at bay, right?
Yes.
To protect officers and potentially give more time to de-escalate a situation.
Yes.
He also gives the command to get a 40, and you gave some testimony about that, right?
Yes.
Just so it's clear for anyone who may not understand how that instrument works, you described it as a single shot, non-lethal or less lethal weapon, correct?
Yes.
There's a breach in the middle where that weapon breaks open, correct?
Yes.
And then you put a projectile in, right?
Correct.
You close it, secure it, and if you pull the trigger, it shoots, projects one item, right?
Yes.
And there's a number of different less lethal projectiles that can be used in that type of implement, correct?
Yes.
They can include things like beanbags.
Beanbags, yes.
Rubber bullets.
The beanbags, primarily beanbag shotguns and the foam 40 millimeters.
In this particular case, it was a foam 40 millimeter, right?
Yes.
And that is a larger 40 millimeter being a bigger projectile than, for instance, a 9 millimeter bullet, right?
Yes.
The thought process behind it is that it's not to penetrate, in other words, break the skin, but it's to incapacitate, make someone stop moving, right?
Correct.
In this case, that implement was actually used in order to de-escalate the situation.
Correct.
And it didn't work, right?
Right.
Mr. Sains continued to move.
Correct.
And it was at that point that Officer Romanski gave commands to shoot, right?
Yes.
And two officers shot.
Romanski and Guerrero, yes.
You would agree with me that there were at least five patrol officers on scene at the time shots were fired?
Yes.
And only two of them discharged their weapons, correct?
Yes.
It appeared from the video evidence, and I've reviewed all of it, that once Mr. Sains stopped moving forward, the threat was over. You'd agree with that?
Yes.
And it appeared officers stopped shooting at that point, right?
Yes.
One of the things that you do with officers following an incident where they discharge their weapons is what we call a countdown, right?
Correct.
You identify what type of weapon they have, correct?
Yes.
You identify the capacity of that weapon.
Yes.
In other words, how many rounds it holds.
Yes.
And you identify how many rounds are left on their person following the incident, right?
Yes.
So you can identify through that and forensic evidence at the scene in the form of shell cases how many rounds have been discharged, correct?
Yes.
On the video, it appears that all of the shots are fired in maybe the time frame of a little over a second. Would you agree with that?
It was quick, yes.
Okay. And it appears five rounds were fired, correct?
Yes.
Sure. I think you told us that Officer Romanski fired three times, is that right?
Yes.
And Officer Guerrero fired two times, correct?
Yes.
On their person, they had a number of additional rounds within their respective magazines, is that true?
Correct.
Each of those magazines held upwards of 20 rounds, correct?
Yes.
And the other officers who I've identified as witness officers being Clover, Bollig, and Dressler, with the exception of the 40 millimeter less lethal round, did not fire their duty weapons at all, correct?
Correct.
After the shots are fired, officers on scene, and you can hear it in the body-worn camera, Officer Romanski talks about getting handcuffs, correct?
Yes.
That is standard operating procedure in a situation like that to make sure the person is no longer a threat by applying handcuffs, correct?
It is.
And in this particular case, It's so Mr. Sains is no longer a threat to himself or officers, right?
Yes.
Immediately thereafter, medical is called, correct?
Yes.
You went through a timeline on your PowerPoint presentation, correct?
Yes.
It appears a call for service comes in at 41 hours or 12:41, just after midnight, correct?
Yes.
Officer Romanski's on scene within 5 minutes, true?
Yes.
It appears that the 40 millimeter round is fired about a minute and a half after he arrives on scene, is that right?
Yes.
And then approximately 15 seconds go by before the 9mm weapons, the lethal rounds, are fired,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Life-saving measures are started by officers on scene about a minute later, true?
Yes.
Medical's already been called at the time they start life-saving measures, is that right?
Yes.
Medical responds about 6 minutes later?
Yes.
6 minutes after that, Mr. Sains is actually in an ambulance on his way to the hospital.
Correct.
And unfortunately, he succumbs to his injuries and is pronounced dead.
Yes.
The officers who discharged their duty weapons, Romanski and Guerrero, both indicated during their walkthrough that they believed their lives and the lives of other officers were in danger. Is that right?
Yes.
And the other officers who were interviewed as witness officers all indicated they believed that the weapon that Mr. Sains had was capable of inflicting substantial bodily harm or death. Is that true?
Yes.
I have no further questions.
Any follow-up?
No, thank you.
Is there any questions in the back from anyone? Okay. This public fact-finding review was held because the Clark County District Attorney's Office made a preliminary determination that no criminal prosecution of the officers involved in the death of Jose Luis Sanz is appropriate. Clark County Ordinance Chapter 2.12 requires public review following such a determination. The purposes of today's hearing was to present the public with essential facts surrounding the death of Jose Luis Sanz, Jr. Josh Tomsick was appointed by the Clark County Manager as the ombudsman to represent the public and the Sanz family. Mr. Tomsick was given the opportunity to ask questions and to provide the public with relevant information regarding the use of force in this case. I was appointed by the Clark County Manager as the presiding officer to preside over this public review. I, too, was given the opportunity to ask questions and provide the public with relevant information regarding the use of force in this case. Prior to today's public review, the Clark County District Attorney's Office provided Mr. Tomsick and myself copies of law enforcement investigation regarding the death of Mr. Sainz. The documents provided by the prosecution are considered public record. If you missed any portion of this review and would like to obtain a recorded transcript, a video of the entire proceeding is available on Clark County website at www.clarkcountynv.gov. That concludes the police fatality public fact-finding review and the death of Mr. Jose Luis Sanz, Jr. Thank you. Have a good day.
Control, one-legged TVM arrived. Subject has a large knife. He's at the back of the parking lot, standing there, gonna wait for a couple units. Code red the channel, he's got a sword.
Hey, stay where you are! Stay where you're at!
I got one at gunpoint, He's walking toward me.
Hey, get a shield,
He's walking toward us.
Hey, stay where you're at!
Stop!
Stop fucking walking!
Grab the 40!
Grab a 40, hurry! Fuck. The car! Hey! Shut the door! 40 now!
40 him!
40 him! Get on the fucking ground!
40 at point.
Shoot him!
Action team right here. Come on. Somebody get on less lethal.
Handcuffs. Okay. We got a shield?
Hold on. Who's got gloves?